Okay, if you could give me your name.
Mrs. Vera Jones.
And your date of birth?
28th, 27.
Okay. And if you can tell us a little bit about your background, where were you born?
Conosky.
You were born in Conosky?
Yes.
And your father and mother, what did they do?
My father was, worked when he was very young in the paper mill in Oakenholt. And my mother worked in a brickworks when she was young.
In Conosky?
Yes, yes. And my mother's parents had shops, businesses in Conosky. Barbers, my granddad was a barber, and my uncle was a barber, and my other uncle was a ladies' hairdresser. And they had a general store. They were quite well known in Conosky.
Right. And you had brothers and sisters?
One brother, one sister.
And did they work?
Yes, my brother worked in the steelworks and my sister worked in a seed factory, bee seed factory.
Right. And which school did you go to?
Conosky, Golfdin Infants, then St Mark's School, and then to what we call the board school. It was no secondary education I didn't have. It was what we call the board school. I don't think there was many exams and things about, unless you got the sort of parents who sort of pushed you to them. And then you went to the central school. But that's the only education I had.
Right. And when did you leave?
14, in the August.
You left at 14?
Yes, and I went to work in Courtaulds a couple of weeks after.
Right. And how did you feel about leaving school?
Oh, couldn't leave school quick enough.
So what was your first job then after leaving school?
Courtaulds. I went by myself for a job and they interviewed you. Just go. And they interviewed you. And then you go and see the nurse and she'd look in your head for nits. And then they chat and then they tell you to start. And then when I started, my mother used to take me to the bus in the morning because it was dark and I was only a little 14-year-old. So she used to take me to the bus for a while until I got in with some other people and then I could go to the bus with them.
So when did you start at the factory? What was the what year?
41.
Did you want to work there?
Did I want to? Mm. Well, that's where everybody went, you know. You just went there for a job. There's nothing else I wanted to do. I probably didn't think I'd got the capabilities of doing anything else. And yet I've done well since.
Mm. And which of the Courtaulds did you...
Castleworks.
Castleworks. That was Flint?
Yes, yes.
And why did you decide that particular factory?
I don't know. I suppose it was the nearest when I got off the bus. I had cousins working there. Probably that might have been the case,
helps.
You know. Yes, yes.
And what did the factory make? What
rayon. Rayon.
Was that the thread?
Yes, yes. It went from spinning, then onto what they call a cake wash. Then it came to us, which I was in the cake wrapping. And then from there it went to be dried, and then it went to either spinning, coning or cheesing. Then the machines, what they put them in. So that was the whole process. And you always smelt, everybody knew where you worked, and we worked in Courtaulds, you got that smell about you, you know. And we had to wear black clothing, which our dresses we made ourselves or somebody made them for us, how to black our curtains. But we had to wear black. So it would show all the threads and that up on us, you know.
Yeah. So you've told us about other family members or neighbours who worked there already, your cousins.
Yes.
Yeah. And did you need any qualifications for the job?
No.
No? Nothing at all. Did you have... Were there any tests or you had an interview?
Yes, just an interview. Just didn't ask you much, really. It wasn't like you'd be today, you know. It wasn't much of an interview. But I was fortunate in the fact that they must have seen something in me, because I wasn't there long, and they asked me would I go doing what they call, not timekeeping, bookkeeping. Because the girls went, they had to do so much per hour. So I used to have to go round and count their work, how much they'd done per hour. And eventually they went on to a bonus, getting more money. But I then wasn't getting more money. So I wanted more money, so I said I want to go back on the floor, which I did. And that's where I stayed until when I got married. My husband was on two shifts in the works, the steelworks, so I wanted to go on two shifts because I'd always been on days. So I then had to go into the coning. I'd never been on machines before, so I had to go into the coning to get on two shifts. But I was only there not many months, and then soon after I got married, I got pregnant and I left.
When would that be?
50. 1950. 49 or 50, yes. Yeah. Well, I got married in 50. No, it was after 50, because I married and then I carried on work. It was after, in the 50s, so it might have been early.
Okay.
51 or something.
So you had several jobs within the factory then?
Yes, well, yeah. Three, cake wrapping, and then I was bookkeeping. And then when I got married, I had to go on the machines to go on to two shifts.
Two shifts, okay. How did you feel about working there?
Well, all right, because I think nearly everybody sort of worked there. You know, I've got lots of friends. My very best friend, who lived by me all my life, her birthday was in the September, so she couldn't leave in the August like me. When she left in the September, when she left at the Christmas, she comes straight there, and she was with me all the while, working in the same department. We went all through there together.
So, how did other people view working in the factory? You know, was it, what kind of job was it seen as?
Everybody worked, just everybody sort of worked there. You didn't feel as though you was below anyone, really. I didn't, anyway. No, I didn't feel as I was below anyone. But as I've got older, I realise I was. But there wasn't many, I don't think, that went on to do very much different, you know. No. But I mean, since then, I've had really good jobs. I've worked in local governments, and I've always had a good job. I worked at Shire Hall and ended up in Shire Hall. So, but we never had the opportunity, to put it that way.
Okay. Can you remember your first day at work?
Yes, it was a little sit-down job. Because these, in the cake wrapping, you wrap them up with, there was stockinette stuff. So there was, sometimes they had holes in. So there was myself and another young girl who'd started. So they were sitting down sorting these stockinettes out to see if they got holes in. Boring little job, I think. And then they take the good ones and put them on the tables for the girls to wrap them up.
What were your first impressions that day?
Fancy just doing this, not much.
So,
but I was soon cake wrapping. It was just sort of working yourself in. I soon got cake wrapping. Quite a heavy job, actually. It was, they came on a tray of 15 big cakes of bran, and you'd wrap them up and put them back on the tray. And another girl would work at the other side of the table, so you both needed to pull the tray out and stack them up. And there were 9 high, a stack really high above us, and we had to lift them up to the top. So it was really hard, stacking these up. But wrapping the stockings wasn't, just doing that, wrapping the cakes up with the stockings, that wasn't hard, but it was the lifting.
Right. And did you enjoy the work?
Yes, it was a way of earning some money. I suppose there was a lot worse jobs.
What did you enjoy about it? What did you enjoy about the work?
Payday.
And what didn't you enjoy?
Getting up in the mornings, very early. We started at 7:30, so we had to be on the road for 7 o'clock for the bus to take you there. And so it was getting up in the morning, and you didn't get home then till about 5:30. Long day.
Mm-hmm. And you said you changed jobs while you were in the factory. Why? Can you tell us why you did that?
I don't know. They must have, whether they've seen anything in me, but they come and ask me, would I go and do this? And at first I thought probably I wouldn't be good enough. And I thought, well, I'll give it a go. So I went, and they taught me how to do it. There was only one person, and this other person left to get married. And so I took her job. And then you just had to keep going around, seeing what they were doing, and count their work up, because they had to do so many, but then they went on a bonus system, so they were all doing more then, weren't they?
So you saw the whole factory, the whole process?
That was in the cake wrapping. That was in the cake wrapping. That was the beginning of the process. You see, the men used to do the spinning, and then the men used to do the cake washing. And it was like in a raw form then, and then we used to wrap it. And then it would be washed, and then it would go to the machines, coning, cheesing, and reeling. Different shapes, they would do them. It's quite a long process, really.
And how many other women worked there, do you know?
In the cake wrapping, I would think 50 in the cake wrapping.
And in the whole factory, do you
know? Oh, I don't know.
No, it was a big factory.
Yes, big factory. There was where we were on one floor, a separate building, and then it was what you call the five-storey. And that was the reeling and the coning, and lots of different things went on there. They were all one factory, but ours was totally different, you know, from going up in this five-storey. It's a different part of the business altogether.
And men worked as well?
Oh, yes. Men done the spinning.
Doing different jobs?
Yes. Yeah. And then they had young lads moving this work when we wrapped them up on big trucks, and these young lads then would do them jobs. I suppose it was interesting, really, you know.
And did the number of people working in the factory change over the time that you worked there? Because you were from the war, weren't you, forward?
No, but I'm saying some went, we were there, and I suppose when the war started, a lot of them, say 3 or 4 years older than myself, they went and they either joined the forces or they went to the aircraft factory. I do really remember that, and thinking I was thinking I wished I was old enough to do it. We weren't.
Mm.
Yeah. That was all right. Used to go to the canteen for our dinner. And there was a two-set meal, a cheap one or a bit dearer one, you know, there. And I think it was half an hour or three-quarters of an hour for dinner. And then we'd have the Enza there, entertainers, I think once a month, really good shows. And then other than that, we could go upstairs and there was a lovely big ballroom and we'd learn to dance. There was a record player and we'd be putting the records on. We were learning to dance.
So in the factory, would you say that there were skilled, semi-skilled, unskilled jobs? What would you say?
Nothing. Well, no, you'd be taught to go on a machine, but I wouldn't say there's anything skilled. You'd be taught to do that, and that was that.
But there were men's jobs and women's jobs, you were saying?
Yes, but those were for the spinners. That's why I don't know much about the spinning. That's where it all started, you see. And I think that's where all the smell came from, the men spinning. And there was a laboratory up there, but in the spinners, and I went up there a couple of times, just had to go on messages or something, and I had a cousin worked in the laboratory, and they were up there. But I don't think it would be very nice for the men working up there. It's like in a raw state, everywhere seemed wet, when I think back.
It's quite corrosive as well, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it's the acid, wasn't it? No.
And so the moving from one job to another, say, there wasn't a progression from an unskilled to a skilled job?
No, it's just they must have seen something about me, I don't know.
And the kind of training that you had to help you with your job, was that a lot, or did they just show you?
No, it's only just a book and counting the work up, you know. That's all. Wasn't really a lot to it.
No. This one, were you encouraged to go to night school or to further your education?
No, but a scheme come out where if you were in between 14 and 16, you had to go to school, which was Flint High School, and you went there one day a week, and you got taught different subjects, and then we were taught domestic science, and I think the boys were taught joinery. And we used to think that was marvellous, because you could go dressed up. After being in blackout all week, we could go dressed up. And we thought that was wonderful. And we had school dinners, and we didn't have to pay for them.
Oh, really? And did you get any qualifications from that?
I've got it here somewhere. I was the best for cooking. I won the best thing for cooking.
In the photo as well, were there married women working as
I think that's when the married women came there, when all these other young ones left. Looking back, I think it was all the married women came. But they were part-time. They always went home early. Part-time they worked.
So, and if you were a working mother, were there working mothers on the staff?
Yes.
Could you work and...
Yes, you could work, yes. Probably got someone to look after the children, you know, but yes, they come. Well, that's when they must have come, when the others all left to go in aircraft factory or the forces.
Okay. Can you remember how much you were paid, a week or a month?
Weekly, about £1 a week. And if I remember rightly, it was... 2 and 6 a week for the bus, go to work. 2 and 6 for my dinners. My mother had 2 and 6, and I had 2 and 6. That's what it was.
And
yes.
Did you have a pay rise at all? Did your money go up?
Very little. I can't remember it going up much, no. I can't ever remember it going up very much at all. No. Because my husband really was only on £3 or £4 a week when we got married. In summers. In steelworks. So no, that's what it was then. Obviously things were a lot cheaper, weren't they?
And how were you paid? How do they pay you?
Cash. Cash in hand. They used to come round on a Friday. Somebody used to come from the office with this little box thing and... You have to have your money. I don't think you have to sign. I think he just asked for your number, and you got your wages.
It's how everybody was paid.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And so you've told us how you spent your wage packet.
Yes.
Yeah. And what was your 2 and 6 spent on?
Well, that'd be for me to go to the dance and clothes and things like that. I was dancing all the while.
And you shared, some of the wages went to your family?
Yes, they had to pay your mother for your board, you know. I don't believe they do now. None of my grandchildren pay any board now. No. Board, we used to say. Pay your board.
Pay your board. And were there any perks working in the factory?
No.
No?
No. No perks whatsoever, really. Only thing is, you used to see the lads, you know, lads and girls, trying to... be clicking and all that. That's about the only thing. And then, because we worked in Flint, we went to Flint a lot at night. We knew lots of girls from Flint as well. And Coniskey and Flint was always very close. I don't know why, because the lads and girls from Flint, they seemed to be together a lot. You know, we used to go to Flint to dance, and they used to come to Shotton to dance. That was our life then, dancing. Never used to go in pubs or anything like that. Oh, never went in a pub. So that was our life.
And in the... Was there any pilfering that you know of that would go on? You know, was there anything that people could take or did take?
No. The only thing is, in the coning, when you're on a coning machine, if you had... you'd get some waste from the cones, and you were allowed so much. If you had any more of that, they'd shout at you. And people used to hide it and take it home. Waste it was, but they were afraid to declare it because they would shout at you. And it was just the waste off the cones, and they'd only chuck it in the bin when they got in. But if you had too much waste... was on a machine coning round from the cake and coning, and if it broke down that, well, you'd have to restart it and tie it up again, but you'd get a little bit of waste in between. So you wasn't supposed to have more than a certain amount of waste.
Well, were there any trade unions in the factory?
Yes, and I was a works councillor. I don't know how that come about. It suggested I go. They must have seen something in me, people. And they suggested I... The other one was leaving, that was on the works council. And they all saying, you put in for it? And they all had to sort of vote me in. And I was a works councillor.
And what did that entail?
Once a month we had a meeting with the bosses.
Was this during work hours?
Yes. I used to come home on the dinner time on that particular day and then get dressed up and go back to the council meeting.
Didn't have to wear black?
Yeah. No, not to the council meeting. I could get dressed up.
And what did the council talk about?
Well, conditions on the floor, really. Not a lot come out of it, I don't think. They were very, very strict, the bosses. They'd shout at you as if you was children, you know. And you'd have to ask if you wanted to go to the toilet. Well, I think that come about because your partner on your job needed somebody to help her, so they'd have to put somebody in your place while you went to the toilet. So they'd watch how long you'd be in the toilet. You couldn't be there long. You're treated really like school kids when you look back. It was much different than being in school.
So, as a works council rep, did people come to you, or did they, you know, did
yes,
you pass
they,
on
it? Yes,
things?
They'd say things about it, you know, and I think that's how it come to be, where they come to go on a bonus scheme, because before that they wasn't on a bonus scheme, and when they went on the bonus scheme, obviously they were getting more money. That came about through one of them questions, I suppose. I can't think of anything else really. I don't know whether the wages went up a little bit. I don't know. I can't remember that bit.
Was there any union dues payable?
No, it wasn't in the union.
No,
it wasn't in the union. The only thing they used to come round for is money to buy on a payday, wanting you to buy saving stamps. There used to be saving stamps then.
In the war?
Yes, saving stamps. And they'd come round selling saving stamps. That's the only thing I think they come round for money, yeah. You didn't have to buy them, obviously, but they wanted you to buy them. That's about all I can remember on that.
So, you said you had to wear a uniform.
We had to wear black. So with the material was the blackout curtains from home, and then someone made us a dress. Someone from home would make us a dress, and it was all black.
And did everybody wear that?
Yes, you had to. All them in the factory had to wear them.
And what was it for? You said it showed
up? Yeah, it showed up, the rayon on your clothes. That's about all I can think that it was for. But no, you all had to wear black.
It protected your clothes, really, didn't it?
I suppose it would, yes, yeah. Dresses, little dresses we used to wear. We'll take it home and wash it ready for the next week. You only had one.
Was the work dangerous in any way?
No, not in the cake wrapping, no. Not on the machines, I suppose. I suppose it could be on the machines. No, but it was heavy, I think, cake wrapping. Two girls had to lift these trays up quite high onto a stack. That was quite heavy work, really, for girls.
Can you describe what a cake is and how big it was and how heavy you think it was?
Well, I don't know how heavy would it be now? It would be about a pound or something. Because it was wet straight from the spinning, we'd get them. And it was about a foot long, like that. And round, and a hole in the middle. And then it used to... You'd get it and you'd put it on this stand, like so, like that. And the stocking was there and you'd wrap it around it. Put it on the tray. And that was your work, like that.
And then you'd lift how many?
15 of those on a tray. And then when it was ready, like, you'd call your partner or she'd call you, right, and drag it off the table and lift it onto this stack. And say that they were high, above your head, you have to lift them. Suppose it was quite heavy for young girls.
Do you remember any injuries associated with the kind of work that you did?
No.
You hurt yourself in any way?
No, I don't remember anybody hurting themselves, no.
So no accidents?
No.
Then?
No.
And you were saying about a few rules and regulations about the place, that rules that you had to obey.
Yes, it's stand by the clock and watch you going in to clock on and clock off, and if you went too early, they'd shout, wait. And if you was a minute late, all the floor would hear him shouting, you know. And we had a cloakroom, like at school. When you went into a cloakroom, it's just like being in school. Hang your coat up in the cloakroom and then go into the room where we worked. And that's where you'd stay then for till dinner time. And if you wanted to go to the toilet, you have to ask. And they didn't like you talking. So somebody coming around talking to tell you to be quiet. Well, you were not supposed to talk.
I was going to ask you that. So they didn't play music? Did they play music or anything?
No. Nothing.
Oh. So were you ever made aware of health and safety issues? You know, was anyone in charge of those?
I don't think so, no. No, I can't remember that. I can't remember anybody being in charge of health and safety, and it's so important today, isn't it? Well, I don't think it was then.
Was it part of the rules, being safe?
No, I don't remember anything about that, quite honest. Nope.
So you're saying there were facilities like toilets, and was there changing rooms or somewhere to wash?
Yes, just to wash your hands, that's all. There was a lady in there, the toilet lady was in there, you know. They were kept clean, but you weren't allowed to be in there long to talk to anybody, you know.
And so were the facilities the same for the men as well, you know?
Yes, they'd have theirs.
Would there be changing rooms for people, who, you know, like the spinners or
No, I don't know whether the men had changing room. I don't think so. I think they went to work and come out the same the way they went in.
Was it very a very noisy place on the factory floor where you were?
Yes, because the machine, our cake wrapping was attached to the reeling. So there was machines there then. So we were next to the reeling, so you could hear them machines. But if you went in the five-storey, all them machines going, it would have been very noisy in there.
How do people communicate?
Shout. And, you know, I speak very loud. And I think that's why it was. When you were on the machines, you shout. People's always shouting.
So there's no ear protectors?
No, no,
no. No. So, and you weren't allowed to chat?
No, no, no. So it's in your chatting to tell you to carry on with your work, and you was doing your work anyway.
So you wouldn't be allowed to smoke or anything while on the factory floor?
No, there was no much. No, you wouldn't be, definitely wouldn't be allowed to smoke on the factory floor. But they'd all smoke when they went outside, you know. You'd see all the men all lined up. There was like a little wall, and you'd see them all sitting there having a smoke.
So, do you think you were saying you might have suffered some long-term effects on your health from working in that factory?
Well, yes. I've got a perforated eardrum at the moment. I've had it done once and it's gone again. So probably that's what it's been, you know.
I don't suppose there's any compensation for that anymore.
No, I've never bothered. But there's always in the papers, isn't there, if you've worked in noise, but I've never bothered about it.
You were saying you had young men working in the factory and men and women working in the factory.
Yes.
Was there a lot of teasing or harassing?
No harassing, but teasing, you know, and they'd all say, oh, we like him, and then somebody else would say they'd like him. And when you say was rejected, I think I was a bit envious of the people in the office. They used to walk through sometimes, you know, on their jobs. And I dressed up, and we were all in black. And I think I was envious then, thinking I wished I'd worked there in the general office. Because my cousin worked in the labour office, and that's where you had to go for an interview when you went to the job. And she worked in there, and the other cousin worked in the laboratory upstairs. And I was on the floor production.
Was there any initiation, you know, sort of a young person coming in and
no,
was, no,
no, you just sort of went and
teased them in any
and
way.
Somebody would say to one of the girls, others say, hang your coat there and go and clock on there, and you clock on there, and then the boss would come, and then someone said, we'll take you in, we'll put you on this, and put me on them sorting stockings for a couple of weeks, and you didn't really get much training. There wasn't really much training to do on this cake wrapping. That's where I was more in the cake wrapping all the time, really.
Would there be any sort of disciplinary procedures, or, you know, would there be any case for sacking or, you know, the sort of management being cross with
people? I don't remember anybody being sacked or anything, no, no.
And was there somebody, you were saying about, you know, you had to get on with your work, and there was sort of checking how many you'd done in a process or whatever. So was there a time and motion looking at what you were doing?
Well, it was just me going round every hour.
Well, you were the time and motion person.
Yes, yes, I was going round every hour to see how much they'd done. I'd have to count how much they'd done each hour. And sometimes they'd try and cheat, you know, would say they'd done more, but then they'd have to go to the drying rooms then and count up their work, you know. No, it was I don't think it made me very, I wasn't very popular then, because people would try and cheat. But I'd got it all down, you see, what they'd done and where they were up to the hour before.
How do you feel about that? Did you?
No, at the time I used to think, well, I'm just doing my job. And little things, not just a little thing. When I first started, there was these older girls, and the hairstyle then was all curly. And I had quite nice hair, and they'd get different ones and say, should we do your hair? And then we'd have a little break, a 10-minute break in between dinner. And in the break, you'd sit there and they'd do your hair. they'd like doing people's hair, and they'd do your hair. Just little things, you know.
If you were married, how did your husband view you working? When you first got married, you were still working?
Well, yes, but only for a few months, because I was pregnant. And I couldn't go to work because I was sick. If they'd have let me go 2 till 10 all the time, I could have gone, because after dinner, I was nothing wrong with me. But I was 6 till 2 and 2 till 10. And I could nowhere I could go to work in the morning. So I finished quite early. So I didn't work. I don't think I worked 6 months after I got married. And I started on a baby and I was sick.
And your husband must have been concerned about you working.
Yes, well, we were, because of course, money-wise as well. We went to live in rooms. And when I started to stop work, we couldn't even afford to live in rooms. So we went to live with my mother-in-law. And we were there for a while, and then we went to live with my mother. And after that, we bought a house. Now, I just had my second child, so I was married in 50. I had Raymond in 51, Gareth in 53, and I bought a house then. In a few years, bought a house. A struggle, but nevertheless, we done it. He worked 2 shifts over the works, on a bike, no car, nothing like that. So I feel proud of what we've done, because he didn't get much money, but the mortgage was kept out of his wages. British Steel had a scheme where if you bought a house, they would buy it and you'd pay the mortgage out of your wages, so we didn't have it in your hand to miss. So that's how we got our house. And after about 10 years of living in Whipper Drive, I got a job in the council offices. Children were starting to grow up then, and I worked in the council office then, and I worked there in local government, and then Shire Hall, and I worked till I was 66.
So how many days did you work a week then? You went on a day release as well, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes. 5-day week. Don't think we worked on a Saturday, did we? No, 5-day week.
Do half day Saturday?
No, I don't think we worked on a Saturday. I can't remember that, but you know, I think we just worked a 5-day week.
And how many hours would that be?
Started at 7:30, I think. Yeah. We finished at 5. Right. 8 hours, was it, or 7? Yeah, no, enough for 8 hours, I suppose. 40-hour week, wouldn't it be? I think 48-hour week it used to be.
Lot of hours.
Yes.
And did you work shifts then?
Or only for
days?
A few months when I got married.
Yeah.
I would say 3 months, 4 months, that's all.
And that was 6 till 10, did you say?
6 till 2 and 2 till 10. On the same shift as my husband. And he used to go on the crossbar of his bike. He'd ride me on his bike to the bus stop, and then he'd carry on to work. Oh dear me.
So you never did night shifts? You never did nights?
Me? No, my husband did after, yeah.
Did you like shift work?
Well, only for the fact that it suited us then. I think it was better on days, really.
And you clocked in and off every time?
Yes. This big clock, you'd put your card and then clock in, and then your card would go in the rack. And they'd come and take it, I suppose, to the time office and count them all up at the end of the week. make sure you put all the hours in. Yeah. I think you just had 1 week's holiday. I'm almost certain it was just 1 week's holiday a year.
Was that everybody, or did you take them at different times?
No, it's closed down.
Oh, did it?
Yes, closed down.
And did people go anywhere in particular on holiday together, or
yes, we'd always, as young girls, not for the first few years, when we got a bit older, we went to Blackpool. That's as far as we went, to Blackpool.
And you stayed there?
For a week. Yes, it was wonderful. Wonderful, dancing afternoon and night.
In the ballroom in Blackpool?
Yeah, in the Tower Ballroom and the Winter Gardens and on the pier in the morning. That's all we used to live for, dancing. Well, I do it till not a couple of years ago.
So you said that you had a canteen in the factory.
Yes.
Yeah. Were there meals? What did you pay for the meals?
I can't remember the price I paid, but I know there was like a two-tier, a cheap one and another one. No, I can't remember the price. It's a good canteen.
Yeah.
You know, a nice big canteen, clean.
What kind of food did they provide? Hot meals?
Or? Yes, oh yes, hot meals. A set meal, a hot set meal. Or then if you take your own, you could take your own meals and just have a drink.
You could eat that in the canteen?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we'd go upstairs after or sit outside in the sun or go upstairs and dance round or something. In the ballroom.
Did you bring your own food and snacks, or did you buy your
food? We used to do a mixture.
And you said that during the lunch break you all did dancing lessons?
Not dancing lessons, we were teaching ourselves to dance because the music was on, so we put records on. And we'd all have a dance round.
So you'd have a recreation room with a gramophone in that you
Well, it was a ballroom. We could go in the ballroom, and it was a beautiful ballroom.
Above the canteen?
Yes. Oh, beautiful. That was really good. And then, obviously, at night, every weekend, they'd probably have a dance there. And then there was ABBA Works and Deeside Mill. ABBA Works had a ballroom, but Deeside Mill didn't. That was on a smaller scale, Deeside. But ABBA was a big place as well.
And do you remember having days off for any personal reasons? You know, any funerals or anything that you had to attend?
No, but they did have, and I went once myself, they had... A lot of people used to be not well with the chest years ago. A lot of people was chesty years ago. And if you wasn't well and you went to the doctors, I don't know whether you got any days off with pay, I'm not sure about that. But if you wasn't well a few times and the nurse would come to see you at home from there.
From
if
the
you
works.
Were so, yes, they'd send the nurse to say what, to make sure it was all above board. Then after a while they'd offer you convalescent home. And that was free, so they were good in that case. They had one in Colwyn Bay and one in Cheltenham. And I went to the one in Colwyn Bay, and it was lovely. I was there for a fortnight, and it was really, really nice. All paid for. So a lot of people are trying to get on that. I had quite a few friends who went to Cheltenham. They said that was lovely, travelling further afield.
Yeah.
That
is looking after you, isn't it?
So they did, in that respect, they did look after us. Perhaps it was when all these rules and regulations come out, when we had to have the extra education. I think it probably got better then.
How did you get to work?
Bus. And when I first started, my mother used to take me to the bus stop. It was 6:30 in the morning in the dark. So she used to take me to the bus stop, like a little kid really, putting me on the bus to go to work, not school, like they do today. And after I'd been there a while and I got to know different people who lived locally, I used to go to the bus with them. And so I was there then till 5 o'clock, I think. We used to get home about 5:30. Meal always on the table when you come in those days, always meals on the table. And I suppose for the first few years I didn't go out much. I was too young really, you know. Then when you got 16 you used to start going out, feeling your feet a bit and going off dancing and that. And youth clubs, I always belonged to a youth club. A lot of us did, you know. It's good in the youth club.
So how far is it from here to your place of work?
Is it 6 miles, was it? Yeah, to Flint, I think. Yeah.
Not a long journey then.
No. We walked there in the snow, and there was no buses. Walked there. Must have been mad. Walked there in the snow.
Yeah. Did they dock your wages for the hours that you hadn't?
I don't think they did. No. I don't think they did. That's probably, I think, we were praised for making the effort. Because all the Flint girls, they'd all be there, wouldn't they, you see? In works.
So you were living at home then?
Yes.
Yeah, and you left home after you got married.
Yes.
And then you were living in nearer to work.
No, further, Queen's Ferry. Right. Queen's Ferry, in rooms in Queen's Ferry.
So still a bus job.
Yes, yeah. My husband used to take me on the bike, on the part of the bike. He'd be, and then he'd carry on to work over to Summers Steelworks.
So you were saying about the social activities that, you know, that the workers organised.
Yes.
There was lots of things going on.
Yes, they did put concerts on once a month. They'd put good concerts, Ensad it was called, and really good entertainment. And they'd have a carnival every year and pick a carnival queen from the Rayon Queen, it was called, not Carnival, Rayon Queen.
How do they pick her?
I don't know. I don't know whether you have to put your name forward. I don't know. I think it was nearly always someone from Flint, I can remember being. And I remember Petula Clark coming there to crown one of the queens one year. It was a big day. It was a big, big day on that Saturday. You know, all the court halls, three factories would all get together and there'd be everything there. Very big day.
Was that on the land of one of the place, Castle?
Or? Yes, I think it used to be near the Middle Works on a field by there somewhere. And there used to be a programme come out every, I think it was every month, called the Rayoneer. Very interesting it was. And there'd be pictures then of the Queen. And then if you got married, your wedding photo would be in it, and if anybody died, that would be in it. And then it's to tell you what had gone on in the other factories, Courtauld's factories. It's quite interesting.
This was a magazine now? For
a magazine, called the Rayoneer. I haven't seen one of those for years.
And that was monthly, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So there would be Christmas dances, children's parties?
Yes. And with me being on the Works Council, I was organised the Christmas party. They'd had one every year, and we'd put a nice party on for the children, the people who worked there, their children. But they'd have a nice party and a little gift to go home with. That was another nice time.
And so were there any retirements? Did they make a fuss of the retirement dues and things?
No, I don't think they made anything. No, I don't think the Works themselves done anything. When you got married, the people would make a collection themselves, not from the Works, but people would make a collection. I remember I had an ottoman they bought me when I left. When you got engaged, you'd go to work showing your ring off. Everybody wanted to have a look at your ring when you got engaged. And lots of people then would come and watch a wedding. They don't today. When's anybody's getting married today? But got married, there's crowds round, you know. No, it was different.
Did you have
turn it up?
Did they do any trips or outings or
No.
Any band or choir?
No, don't remember. Don't remember any bands or choirs, no.
But you had the entertainment, the ends people would come.
They'd come and entertain us, yes, yeah. Yes.
Did Petula Clark do any concert? Did she sing?
I don't remember her doing a concert, but she certainly come to crown the Queen. She probably performed, sang, you know, while she was there. Yes. No, I don't remember.
Were there any other events like that you remember?
No, I can't remember any of those. No.
And you took part in some of these because you were an organiser?
Yes. The Christmas parties I organised that one that year. I got people off the floor, like anybody else, all come to help. So made it a nice party for the children.
So you organised it in the canteen in your castle?
Yes.
And who provided the food?
I don't know whether we got anything off the works. Probably did. I think we got it from the works, the food. Yeah, I think that's what happens. I think we just had to be there and see to them, you know.
And entertain them.
Yes, keep them quiet, games and that.
Yeah. So it was the children of the workers who attended that?
Yes.
Yeah. Were there anyone from outside, any other? It was predominantly the children.
No, it was no one from outside. Yeah. It was the work people, because by this time we got married people there, hadn't we, with children, you see.
Okay. So, did you enjoy working at the factory?
Well, I didn't know anything else. I can't say. I can't say as I ever used to think. Probably I used to think I wish I'd got an office job. You know, probably think, oh, they've got a better job than me, they're in an office. I didn't have the opportunity. I suppose a lot did, but there wasn't much opportunity about, really, you know.
And the job didn't really offer a lot of job satisfaction, did it?
No, you never got anything out of it. It was just go there, do your job, and get paid at the end of the week. There was no fear of losing your job, I can't remember any fear of losing your job. And you couldn't say, oh, I'm leaving here, I'm going somewhere else. You didn't, that wasn't done. I think when people got there, they stayed there. Well, most people I know did. They started and that's where they ended up, till they got married or whatever. I'm not sure of the year it closed. Have you any idea?
I've got the date somewhere.
Yes.
I'll let you know. So you left to when you got married and the baby came along.
Yes.
Was that how most women left?
Yes.
For family.
Yes, family's coming along. Yeah. And if you wasn't having a family, you'd just carry on until you did. You know, but.
How did you feel about leaving?
I was glad. I was glad. Excited as well, having a baby. Wasn't my baby, you know. Glad and excited.
Did they give you a farewell party?
No. Actually, we see, I'd been up in the Coning. There were no parties or anything like that. When you left. But I'd only been up in this Coning a few months. So I wouldn't be that well known up there as I was before.
Did they give you a farewell when you left the other place?
No. Just start there on Monday. you want to go on shifts. I asked, applied to go on shifts. Yeah. You didn't go on shifts, but you'll have to go on the machines. So that was it. Left on the Friday and started... No, probably I got married. I'd moon and moon. And then when I went back, went up there. And had to be taught that process then on the machines. That wasn't as nice as... Cake wrapping was better than on the machines. You know...
Different conditions.
Yes, yes. There were big machines and you were running up and down them, you know, keeping them going. No, it was better where we were in the cake wrapping, even though it was heavy, it was better.
Did you say it was spinning that you went up to?
Coning.
Coning.
Mm.
Which was what? Putting thread on?
Yeah, there was three. There was reeling, coning and cheesing. And they come out in different shapes. A cone would come like a cone, and a reel would come like that with two points on the end, and a cheese would come out like that with one point on the end, I think. Different shapes they would come out. Ready for use then. All the fine rain then, ready for use. But I was involved in the very beginning, but just after it had been washed, just wrapping it up. And then silk came along, didn't it? Silk was invented and rayon was done away with. And that's how it all went. Because they had loads of factories up and down the country, caught holes, didn't they?
So you worked in the factory for what, 9 years, did you say?
41 to 59 years, yes.
Yeah. And afterwards, you said you worked in other places.
Yes, I went to local government after. I always worked in local government after.
In an office?
Yeah, at first I went to rent collector. I was a rent collector for years. And I know everybody, and everybody knows me. And I talk to people and I say, I know where you lived. And they'd say, I remember going to the door and telling me mum wasn't in. I said, I know where you lived, I know where everybody lived. And I was a rent collector for years and years. And it was when it was just Connors Quay. And then after Connors Quay joined up and it was Flintshire. So I worked for all Flintshire as well. I worked all over the place, rent collecting. And then I left, after years and years, I left to look after my daughter's child. And when she was five, I went back. And I worked for the Water Authority, local government the same, and I was doing debt recovery, and I went all over the place for debt recovery, and then I worked in the office in Shire Hall for the Water Authority, and I was there for years. I get a pension off then.
You no pension from the factory?
No, nothing.
So are you in contact with any of the former workmates, you know, people that you worked with in the factory? Do you still see people?
Yes. Mm.
Do you have any reunions at all?
No, just local people.
Yeah.
Just the local people.
So you made friends there, lots of people made friends?
Yes, and with all the Flint people. So we knew what the Flint and the Quay were very close to people. A lot married Flint boys, and I married a Quay lad, like I was. But a lot married boys from Flint, and boys from Flint married, you know, that's how it was. No, we were very, Flint and Connors Quay was always very close. And my father was from Oakenhall, near Flint, you see, so I've always been in this area.
So looking back on the, you know, on your time in the factory, how do you feel about the time you spent working there in Castleworks?
Well, I suppose it's nice to look back on, and I tell mine all about it, and they say, oh, we can't believe in, you know, children today, the pocket money they have. And I said I worked all week for that, and they don't believe me. And they say different things to me now. I said, well, we had to learn to be frugal. You know, we had to. In the shop now, and I'll go and I say, oh, I'm not having that, that's too dear. And they'd say, oh, you've got the money, buy it. I said, no, I've had to work hard for my money, and I've, you know, I watch everything. The first house we bought it and paid for it in within 13 years. And when I went to the council offices, the boss used to say to me when I'm going out collecting the rents, just tell them when they won't pay the rents, you've paid for your house and you're the same age as them. Some didn't make that effort, you see, did they? I paid for that house, we paid for it in 13 years. And then, probably been down there now, in the Wepper Drive area, we opened a laundrette on this estate here. So we come up here to live, to be near the laundrette, so that's why I'm here, and I've been here ever since. Just two houses I've had since I've been married. So that's my life.
Is there anything else we haven't covered, do you think, that you'd like to say about factory life or factory
No,
work?
I don't think, no, about the factory, no. No, I don't think there is now. Pretty well covered that. Bus, knits, and then...
You were saying about wartime conditions. You were there during the war.
Yes.
How did that affect
your life? So we were issued with a gas mask and you couldn't go anywhere. We always had to take them to work every day, a gas mask. You wouldn't dream of going out without a gas mask. And your curtains at home was black. Had to black all your windows out. And
what about in the factory?
Well, I don't know. When I come to think of it now, I don't know. Because they'd all be lit up, wouldn't they? I don't know, you know. Probably not, would they? In the five storey, I wouldn't. I don't know.
Were there any wartime alarms there, did you?
Sirens, the main sirens there, yeah.
Shorters?
We never, nothing occurred at all during our time there in the day. At night it used to happen. And we used to have to get up. And there was like a little cubby hole where we lived. My dad was in the army. And we'd be in this little cubby hole until the all clear went. We'd all sit in there. And
were there any shelters at the works if there was an alarm at night?
I don't remember any shelters, but there must have been, wasn't there? I don't remember any shelters and I don't remember any drilling towards ARP, air raid precautions. No, I don't remember anything like that. Right, yeah, told you. No, I don't remember anything.
One of the effects probably, as you were saying, was people leaving to go and do war work.
Yes, they were. They were leaving, the girls were leaving to join the ATS or any armed forces. And then there was the aircraft factory. It's had that many different names. What is it now? Airbus. I forget, de Havilland's or something there. And they were all going there because the money was a lot better, wasn't it? They were all going for more money. And so then the court all started to employ married women when all these others were leaving.
They weren't employed before then, do you think?
No, not married. No, not if they had children, they didn't want them. If you worked there and got married, you was all right, but they wouldn't employ you married. If you've got any children or anything like that, or any responsibilities. No, they come quite en masse, really. They were coming in after, but part-time, they weren't full-time. Don't remember anything else to tell you.
With your... during the war, with rations and whatever, did that affect the canteen?
Well, it was very basic, the food. So it probably would. It was basic food.
Did you have to hand in any ration books or anything?
No, not there. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. No. Five, yeah. No, we didn't have to hand and nothing in at all like that. Probably that would be a bonus, really, getting something to eat when you could only get so much at home. I never remember a banana for years after when the war started. There were no bananas about, you know. It's queer, wasn't it, but no bananas about.
So would there be anything else about the factory? Or
no, I think that's it.
You think you've covered everything?
I think I've gone through everything, yes.
Well, thank you very, very much for your contribution.
Yes.
That's very much appreciated. It's been a big help.
No, it is nice to keep up into things, isn't it, you know?